detail. And Rashi explains in his commentary, quoting from the Midrashim, that the word truma appears three times, and it's referring to three different trumas. And one of the three trumas, two of the three trumas were Hayru Ashur, just for that generation, for the purpose of Binyan HaMishkan. And the third trumas, Machzal Shekel, is the annual din that we have in Doris for the purpose of funding Korbanos Tzibur. The din is that Korbanos Tzibur, every time you bring Tmidim Sofman, that's a Korbanos Tzibur. The Korbanos Tzibur have to be paid for dafke by Machzal Shekel of Kval Yisrael. And if a private person wants to, let's say, give a $20 million donation to cover all the Korbanos Tzibur for the next 5 years, we don't accept it. Like Korban Yochid, there is such a concept. Let's say I have to bring a Chatas, an Oshem, a Korban Pesach, whatever, and my next Eidema knows that I can't afford it. So he wants to do me a favor, so he sends in money to the Beis HaMikdash, and he tells him to be makrid the Korban on my behalf. So there is such a din as Magdish Almanoshi is Kapa Bochaveru. The Gemara Noza learns it out from a Pasuk that such an institution exists, such a thing exists. So the Tzedukim, his man Baisheni, were running the show. There was trouble on the Baal Sheni from day number one. They had a lot of tzedukim who didn't accept Torah Shebaal Peh. And they were, a lot of times, the Kohanim running the Beis HaMikdash with tzedukim. So they would, instead of collecting Machzal Shekel every year, they would have one millionaire donate a significant amount of money, and they would put up a plaque. All the Karbonis this year are paid for, funded by this and this family. So the Chachamim said that this is against Allah, and all the Karbonis that they brought, nobody was Yotze with them. And this is one of the Yamim Tovim of Megillas Tainis, is Man by Yisheni. They added on, in addition to the biblical Yamim Tovim of Pesel Shlua Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Chachamim added on additional Yamim Tovim. So all the additional Yamim Tovim had to do with straightening out things in the Beis HaMikdash, improving the Hakrovos HaKorbanos, and improving the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, and defending the Beis HaMikdash from being destroyed by the enemy. Whenever the Hashmonaim were victorious in battle, they establish a yontif, not because the halacha says whenever the Jewish army is victorious and make a yontif, but rather because during the lifetime of the Hashmonaim there was a Beis HaMikdash. So when the Yevanim or the Misyavnim defiled the Beis HaMikdash and the Hashmonaim straightened it out, so they rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, they removed the Avodah Zarah, and they had to make a new Mizbech, and then made a new Menorah, so they made a Yontif then. And every time they were, in following years, every time they were successful in a battle, they were preserving the Beis HaMikdash from being destroyed. So they made a Yontif. These are all the Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainis. So one of those many Yamim Tovim is the Yontif that was the Toikim Tmida, when the issue of the Korban Tomid was established properly, that they kicked out all of the Tzedukim from running the Beis HaMikdash, and the Chachamim were doing it the way it's supposed to be. The Haino that they were collecting Machzal Shekel from every person, because you're not Yotze if you have one family donates all the money. The Pasuk speaks about the people over the age of 20 donating Machzal Shekel. So that's a big machlokes and Rishayim, depending, there are two girsis in the Talmud Yerushalmi, a Masech HaShkolim, whether the age of 20 is relevant for the Din L'Doyros, that only people over the age of 20 give Machzal Shekel for the purpose of Korbanos Tzibur. You say no. Even a person who's just passed by mitzvah is also mechuyav to participate in Machzal Shekel. That's two girsis in the Yerushalmi. There is a famous manuscript that was printed in the 1700s that was claimed to be a manuscript of the Chuvas, additional Chuvas of the Rosh. It's called the Somim Rosh. And it has the footnotes, the commentary of the one who put out the manuscript, Kasa de Harsana, the comments on the bottom of the page. And the people in that generation, the Nodi Behuda, didn't know that it was a forgery, so he gave the guy Haskama. He knew the guy's father. So he knew, based on assuming that the son is also religious like the father, so he gave Haskama. Turned out the whole thing was a forgery. So one of his chuvas that he has there, one of the comments that he has in the Kasa de Harsana, that the later Svarim talk about, he writes that according to those who are of the opinion that only one over the age of 20 is obligated to give Machzal Shekel, and women are also not obligated to give Machzal Shekel. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens la'alocha based on the Tzlach, the Rebbe Behuda has Chidushim on Shas that are called Tzir le'Nefesh Chaya Tzlach. So the Tzlach writes his Chidush, Mishnah Berurah quotes the la'alocha, women are not mechuyav to daven musaf, because the women were not obligated to participate in Machzor Shekel. Women shouldn't be obligated to daven Shacharis Mincha Ma'ariv either, because Shacharis Mincha Ma'ariv is also connected to Midim. Tamash Shachar, Tamash Rabbein Abayman, Haktor Seimurim, Kol Alayla. But the Gemara says women are obligated to daven Shacharis Mincha Ma'ariv because Tfilah Rachmeinin, because it's Bakoshas Tzarochim. But Musav is not Rachmei Ruchim. Musav is purely connected to Karbonis. The women were not obligated to participate in the Machzor Shekel. So you can say, all right, they're not mechuyev to participate in Machzor Shekel, but once the men gave the Machzor Shekel, the Karbonis to Midim himself and Rofan on behalf of everybody, on behalf of the women also. The women also got a Kapora, not just the men. So there's room to argue with the Tzlach. Big room to argue with the Tzlach. But the Mishnah Berurah Paskin is like the Tzlach. Others don't accept the Mishnah Berurah Paskin that women are not mechuyev to daven Musav. So if you say women are not mechuyev to daven Musav because they're not mechuyev to give Machzor Shekel, so if people younger than 20 were not mechuyev to give Machzor Shekel either, so that's what this faker, the guy who forged the Tshuvas HaRosh, the Chasam Sofer refers to it as Kisvei HaRosh, Chav Zayin Beis, not Kisvei HaRosh, the writings of the Rosh, but the forgeries of the Rosh. Tshuva, the Chasam Sofer refers to it as the Kisvei HaRosh, because he already knew, by his time, they already caught on that the whole thing was a forgery. So this guy writes, this wise guy writes in the Kasa Daharsana, so people younger than 20 are not mechuyev to daven Musav. And even if they want to volunteer, that's beautiful. Women can also volunteer to daven Musav, but you can't let a kid be the bal tefillah. He can't be the shliach tzibur. The daven for anam and Musav, because mishenim mechuyev b'daver and might say sarab midei chavasim. So just like we know a child before bar mitzvah shouldn't serve as the shliach tzibur. So for Musav, you should be machmed that a child younger, a person younger than age 20 shouldn't be the shliach tzibur. So that's a chiddush on top of a chiddush. Anyway, that's the din of Machzor Shekel. The Rambam writes that every year the Bezin has to figure out how many karbonos are they going to need this year. Is it going to be other sheni? Is it just going to be one ador? If they're going to be other sheni, they're going to need many more karbonos. Then they have to figure out how much other karbonos going to cost this year. Maybe the price of animals is going to go up, so they have to have experts. Then they have to consult with experts in fundraising. How many people do you think, how many Jews are there in the world? How many Jews are there? How many religious Jews are there who are interested in giving Machzor Shekel? And from the religious Jews, how many people are going to give the money on time? We need the money now to bring the korbanos. Doesn't help the guy's going to wake up the end of the year. He's going to wake up 5 years from now. He didn't. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were big pushkas, there were big boxes to put the money. So one box had taklan chadatin, shkolim chadoshim for this year. And then they had another box that was Taklan Atikin. Whoever didn't give Machzor Shekel, let's say a guy's 85 years old, and becomes a Baal Tshuva, he realizes he never gave Machzor Shekel since the age of Bar Mitzvah, since the age of 20. So he has to give Machzor Shekel for all the years that he never gave. So, but when they're buying the Korban HaSiba this year, they have to have the money this year. So you have to have somebody tell you, some expert judge, what's the population of the Jewish people, and how many of them will probably participate in Machzor Shekel? How many will pay the money on time? So, based on this calculation, the Rambam explains, the Bezin has to establish every year how much is Machzor Shekel. It's not going to be Machzor Shekel. If you're afraid that not enough people are going to give, not enough people are religious, not enough people care, not enough people are going to give on time, then you have to say everyone have to give 40 shkolim, 50 shkolim every year. If you have more than enough people, then you never go down to less than Machzor Shekel. But usually it's going to be, very often it'll be much more than Machzor Shekel. It says in the Chumash, Oshala Yarba Badal Yam, it doesn't mean you never give more than a Machzor Shekel. No one should give more than anybody else. The Bezin has to establish how much everybody should give this year for Shkolim. And no one should give a penny more, no one should give a penny less. Everybody gives the same amount. But it doesn't mean that it's Machzor Shekel every year, it's going to be much more. That's what the Rivan interprets. The Psukim say in Ezra that when they rebuilt, when they completed the building on the second Beis HaMikdash and started bringing Karbanos, so everybody gave Darkono Shel Zohav, they gave gigantic golden coins, way more than Machzor Shekel. Each person gave way more. Why is that? So the Rambam has a whole funny interpretation. The Rivan doesn't like it. The Rivan in the Hasog is on the Rambam. So the Rebbe says, no, there was only a handful of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. And the Jews in Bavel were not connected with the Beis HaMikdash. They weren't giving Machzor Shekel. It's a question whether they're mechuyev to give Machzor Shekel or not. Why is it a question? Because Ben Gurion said the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz are not Jewish. That's what Ben Gurion held. Because Ben Gurion held, there's a mocker for this, because Ben Gurion held, he didn't hold from the religion. He claimed that he was an atheist. He was probably not telling the truth. But in his autobiography, he claims that he was an atheist. He's always quoting from Tanakh. So if he's an atheist, what did he see so significant about the Tanakh? And it's not, true. So to him, Judaism is only a culture, only a nation. So the nation only consists of the people who live in national homeland. Whoever doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael is not Jewish. We don't hold like that. We hold that there's a Kedushas Yisrael. Even the Jews who live in Chutz Lartz have a Kedushas Yisrael. But the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael, the Gemara says, is only those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So we have some mitzvahs that don't apply in Chutz Lartz. One of the mitzvahs, Taka, is at the end of today's Sedra. Plus it says, when we will be Oyle Regal, Shalosh Pavim Hashana Yeroko Zechurcho, that's towards the end of the, right, the end of Shishi, in Parshas Kisisa. Shalosh Pavim Hashana Yeroko Zechurcho, Ki Erish Gadim Perech Rechaptez Gvolech V'Leach Menish Yitzartzcho. And the Goyim will not steal your land when you go to be Oyle Regal. That's the Torah gives a Haftocha, the Shluchim Mitzvah Eden Nizokim. When we'll go to be Oyle Regal, the Goyim won't steal your land, unless it's a case of Shechiach HaZeka today. It's Shechiach HaZeka. If you're going to leave your land, the Goyim will take it. So then you have no right to rely on this Haftocha. So the Gemara is Medag from the Pasuk, V'le'ach Menishis Artzucho, the Gemara in the first Perek in Pesachim, that the Chovas HaLiyah L'Regel only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz La'aretz are not Mechiyach to fulfill the mitzvah of HaLiyah L'Regel. Because the Pasuk says, V'rechavti Ez G'olecho, V'le'ach Menishis Artzucho, all talks about HaLiyah L'Regel on the part of the Jews who are coming from Eretz Yisrael. True, the Gemara says the Jews used to come from Chutz La'aretz also, but the Gemara in the first parak himself, Nesib, said they weren't Mechiyach to. It was Eina Mitzvah V'yos. And then there's a Taisus, famous Taisus in the beginning of Pesachim. But Taisus says that those who live in Chutz La'aretz are not Mechiyach to participate in Korban Pesach. Not only not Mechiyach to be Oyle Regel for Shavuos and Sukkos, not even Mechiyach to call an Erev Pesach for Korban Pesach. Also because they understood Korban Pesach is a Chovas HaTzibur. And the Tzibur is only those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever lives in Chutz La'aretz has a Kedushas Yisrael, but he's not part of the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael. So whatever is a Chovas HaTzibur doesn't apply. So there's room to say, the Rambam happens to write explicitly not so. The Rambam writes that even the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are also mechuyev to give Machtas HaShekel. But there is room to argue with the Rambam to say that Machtas HaShekel is also a Chovas HaTzibur. So those who live in Chutz La'aretz perhaps not mechuyev to give Machtas HaShekel. So the Ravid writes that the reason why in the beginning of the Baisheni it says in Ezra that they had to give Darkona Sholzov, gigantic golden coins, each person gave way more than Machtas HaShekel, is because there was hardly anybody in Eretz Yisrael, and they couldn't rely. The Jews in Babel were just not going to send any money. They weren't going to send any money. That was the Metzias. So each person had to give way more than, in order to fund the Karbanos, each one had to give Darkona Sholzov, a fortune of money. Oshali Abimis, no one is allowed to give more or less than anybody else, but very often it would be much more than the Machtas HaShekel. The fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash began from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the Karbanos on Rosh Chodesh Nissan had to be paid for l'chatchila with the new Machtas HaShekel money. The Gemara says in Yuma, b'di'evit, if they didn't have new money, they can use last year's money. But l'chatchila, they should have to use this year's money for them. And the year beginning with Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Machtas HaShekel money. So in order to be able to begin purchasing the Karbanos Tzibur for Rosh Chodesh Nissan of the new fiscal year from the new money, they had to start collecting the money a month before. So that's the Mishnah in Shkolim. Be'echad do'ad the mashpi'im ala Shkolim. That's why Parsha Shkolim is always Shabbos Mavorach Rosh Chodesh Ador. When you have Ador Sheni, so you have till Rosh Chodesh Nissan, you have 30 days from Rosh Chodesh Ador Sheni. So Parsha Shkolim is going to be the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Ador Sheni. So they would announce everyone should start bringing in the money in order to begin bringing the Karbanos Tzibur Rosh Chodesh Nissan from the new money. Yeah, so that's the parsha begins with this institution of Machtas HaShekel, which Rashi explains contains Hoyrah Shoh and Din Ledor. So the Din Ledor is being this din that you have to purchase the Karbanos Tzibur with Machtas HaShekel. We mention every so often the Braise in Maseches Bechoris, Daf Nun Aleph, from an Aleph, that in Kol HaTarakula Shoveh Kesef Ki Kesef, when you get married, you give a ring to the girl, you don't give cash, because you want to demonstrate that Shoveh Kesef is also Ki Kesef. And the Gemara says there are only three exceptions to the rule. Adam Amazik has to pay, Shem Beregel have to pay, all of us in the Zikin have to pay. So the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Kesef Yoshev Lebola, Bahamesi Elo, by the boar. Shorshan Ofa Lebor, Kesef Yoshev, Yoshev the Rabbi Shabbat Kesef. Shabbat Kesef is also good. When you play the Hegdish, when you do Pidyon HaBen, you don't have to give Dafki Kesh. You can give Shabbat Kesef. Some people in America like to give Israeli coins. The Israeli government minted special coins. You have to give Mikar Adin for Pinyin Adin. You have to give, the Chazanish says, 96 grams of, the value of 96 grams of pure silver. The minig is that you round it out, you give 100. Others all, you have to give 101 grams of pure silver. But the minig is you give 100 grams. So the Israeli government minted coins, five coins, five shkolim, that have a little more than 100 grams of pure silver. In case it gets rubbed out a little bit, so you still have 100 grams of pure silver. But Israeli coins in America is Shabbat Kesef. That's not Kesef. Israeli coins in Eretz Yisrael are Kesef. Kesef means that it's declared legal tender by the government of that country. But if you're making Pidyon HaBen in America with Israeli coins, that's not Kesef, that's Shabbat Kesef. But there's nothing wrong with it. Shabbat Kesef is also good. The only thing that's not good for Pidyon HaBen is Karka Avada Mishtaris. So the Gemara says there, Shabbat Kesef is good for Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen, Shabbat Kesef is good. Only Karka Avada Mishtaris is no good. So the Brisa says there are only three exceptions to the rule. The Shabbat Kesef is Lavki Kesef. So one is Machza Shekel. Machza Shekel is only Yotze if you give cash. And the second exception to the rule is Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni, that everybody knows. You have to be paid in Ma'aser Sheni. Davkan the Kesef Sheyesh Olav Tzura. The Pasuk says, V'tzarta Kesef Yadecha. Kesef Sheyesh Olav Tzura. And those are the Brisa. And then the third case is only the Rabbanan. When you go into the Oyla Regal, Pesel Shvur Sukkos, and you purchase the Oyla's Ria, you have to purchase Ria, Oyla's Ria, from Kesh, as opposed to Shabbat Kesef. And Rashi on the Gemara Mechores quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, a whole explanation why, a historical background, all reason why they made such a din derabban. But this is, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, where he writes in his commentary on the Talmud Yerushalmi, Rav Moshe was heartbroken that when he left communist Russia, he had to leave behind his manuscript on Yerushalmi. So he writes in his manuscript on Yerushalmi, he explained that this is a din derais. It's a diyun in Yerushalmi, whether kesef has to be given as opposed to shove kesef. For Ma'aser Sheni, for sure it's a din derais. For Oilas Ria, for sure it's a din derabanan. And the third din, that you have to give kesef and shove kesef for Machza Shekel, so that's a discussion in Yerushalmi. Rav Moshe claims that the maskana is that it's a din deraisa. You gotta give dafke kesef and not shove kesef. When it says ha'ashe lo yarbe, the Mishnah says in the Dorim, I can be shokel shikloi shal chaveri. Let's say I know that my next door neighbor can't afford to give machzal shekel. This year the Bezin said everybody has to give $13.50 for machzal shekel. So I give my $13.50. Then my next neighbor says, how am I ever going to get so much money? So I tell him, don't worry, I'll give on your behalf. So that's permissible. That's shokal or shikla, the Mishnah says. That's okay. I'm allowed to give, even if he's a muda hana, even if he took a net and not to get an offer from me, I'm allowed to give machta shekel on his behalf. That's the Mishnah in Shkolim. That's just like he can be magdush al manashi is kapa bochaber, I can be magdush a korban on behalf of someone else, and he'll be the bala korban, even though I paid for it. So Machza Shekel is also like HaKadoshos HaKorban, that's okay. But you just give what the Gemara says that Stukim permitted and we don't allow it is that someone wants to give a couple of million dollars to pay for all the Karbonis in the course of the year, so that's not allowed. The Karbonis, it's only called Karbonis Tzibur if all the members of the Tzibur gave their Machza Shekel properly. So that's how the Parsha begins with the Din of Machza Shekel, which contains three different Trumas, Rashi explains, and one of them is the Machzal Shekel Din L'Doris. It's never really explicit. Our institution of Machzal Shekel that we know of, the Masechet Shkolim, is not, it's really Torah Shebal Peh. It's really not explicit in the Chumash at all. That's why the Tzedukim didn't believe in it. According to the tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh, there is such an institution, the Doris, of Machzal Shekel. The next parasha you have in the Chumash is the parasha of Kiyur, that you need Kiyur Shadayim Raglayim in the morning before you do the Avodah. Rambam's opinion, Gemara says, in the end of Brachos, you have to wash until the Siddayim when you wake up in the morning. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, there are three different explanations what until the Siddayim is all about. So the Rambam's opinion is, until the Siddayim has nothing to do with waking up in the morning, because you go out and daven Shachris, Mincha Ma'ariv, So before Shacharis, you have to wash until the Sidan, before Mincha, before Meir. Parallel to what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim had to wash Kiddush Nayim Raglayim before they did Hakrovas HaKarbonis. So the same thing applies to davening. I remember Rav Soloveitchik used to give the shiur in the classroom when we used to dab Mincha in the classroom right after the shiur was over. So he used to run to the bathroom right after the shiur, run to the bathroom for half a second just to wash his hands. He would run back because he's always makbid like the Rambam. You're supposed to do that. The Talmidim didn't, but so the Shulchan Aruch, he's supposed to do it. He's supposed to wash your hands. We don't follow the Rambam. The Rambam holds you say brocha until the Sidan, when you wash your hands before Mincha, when you wash your hands before Meir. So we don't go so far to say the brocha. But more correct talk is that you should pour the water on your hands. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a shiur every Tuesday night for Balabatim. It used to be a shul in Manhattan. They rented a spot in an office building. It was called the Maria Synagogue. So he used to give a shiur every Tuesday night for Balabatim. And after the shiur, they always used to daven Meir. So he didn't want to hold everybody up. They wanted to daven Meir right away. So they started with Hurachim right away. And he didn't say Baruch Hashem L'Yoylam. So when the Chazan got up to Baruch Hashem L'Yoylam, he would run to the back of the shul, wash his hands, and he would run to the front of the shul. He got there before the Chazan started the Shemoneh Esrei, because he felt that the Netilas said nine for davening really is for the Shemoneh Esrei, not so much for the Kriya Shema with the brachas. His hands were clean, but he held you have to wash your hands. Rabbi Kivega had the practice in the morning. Rabbi Kivega has Ha'oris on the Derech HaChaim Siddur. Derech HaChaim Siddur was written, the Halachas were written by the author of the Nesivas. Mishnah Berurah quotes Derech HaChaim Siddur every other page. So the Nesivas was a contemporary of Rabbi Kivega. They used to correspond. And the Nesivas divorced his wife, so the Balabatim fired the rabbi. It was an embarrassment that the rabbi should have divorced his wife. So Rabbi Kivega sent a letter to the Balabatim. How can you fire this man? He's the God Lador. You can't fire the Nesivas. Rabbi Kivega was involved in a divorce as well. He kept on sending letters to the wife that she should behave, that she should act properly, otherwise the husband's going to divorce. It didn't help. He had to get divorced. So so Rabbi Kivega wrote Ha'oris. Every so often he has a comment on the Derech HaChaim Siddur. So when the Derech HaChaim quotes the Dinim of until the Siddaim in the morning, so Rabbi Kivega writes his practice is that he used to wash until Siddaim when he woke up in the morning. And then he would get dressed, and then he would put on his shoes, wash his hands again. And then the last time he would wash his hands before he would start davening, he would say the Brocha on until the Siddaim. To be choshish for the Rambam's opinion that until the Siddaim with the Brocha is because of Tefillah. He wouldn't say a bracha before Mincha, before Ma'ariv when he washed his hands, because we don't really pass like the Rambam. But he was choshish for the Rambam's opinion to save the bracha till the last time he was washing his hands before he would start davening. Others hold that that's not correct. I think Rabbi Willig has a whole essay in his Sefer why he thinks more correct is not so. Okay. So it's machleg Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Kivega. Okay. You have to choose which team you want to go for. So the Torah has the institution, Kiddush Adar Raglan, you have to wash your hands and your feet before you do HaKrovas HaKrabos. HaYom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to wash. We were just talking the other day about HaShoshi HaShol Barzal HaYimachamin. The Tosfos in Shabbos quotes the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. So the Kohen Gadol had to do Kiddush Adar Raglan 10 times on Yom Kippur. Why? Because he did the Avodah of the 5 units. And every time the halacha says, every time you put on big dikuna, you have to wash the kiddush adayim raglan. Every time you take off big dikuna, you have to do kiddush adayim raglan. So he put on and took off 5 times. So he had to wash kiddush adayim raglan 10 times on Yom Kippur. But that's not miyakeh b'diyeh. But if he washed once in the morning and didn't wash all the other 9 times, the karbonos would be kosher b'diyeh. But if he didn't wash the first time in the morning, then if you do avodah shelo rechutz adayim raglan, it says, "V'rochzi day maglaim v'lo yamusu, v'lo yamusu." If you do avoda without kiddush nine maglaim, chay misa v'day shemaim. If the Kohen Gadol didn't do the last 9, he wouldn't be chay misa v'day shemaim. Mitzvasa is that each time you should do kiddush nine maglaim. The pasuk says, for the purpose of kiddush nine maglaim, the water should be in the kior. The Gemara says in Yuma Lav Dafka, the kior can be in any klisharis. So the Ramban al Torah quotes the Rambam, who sounds like he says that lechatchila is a mitzvah min amuvchor to do kiddush adayim raglayim only from the kiyur. But b'diyevet, if you did kiddush adayim raglayim from water that was in any klisharis, it'll also be good b'diyevet. So the Ramban says that's a mistake. It can't be correct because the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur every year did like that. Every year it says they would take a special klisharis and and fill it up with water, so the Kohen Gadol didn't have to go to the Kir, because he had to do all the Avodah from all the Avodah Sayyam. It was mutal on him. So they didn't want to make him have to go. He has to do Kiddush Navraglaim 10 times on Yom Kippur. Each time he has to run to the Kir. So they gave him a break, and they put the water in a normal klisharis. So you're going to tell me that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur only did B'di'edah? He wasn't Yotzei L'chatchila. Rabban says the Rambam is wrong. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's not a kasha. Rav Soloveitchik thought if you read the Rambam slowly and carefully, the Rambam never said lechatchila you have to wash from the kiyor. Rambam says the water should be niskadish in the kiyor, and that's what it was on Yom Kippur. They took meha kiyor, they took water from the kiyor, and they would put it into a different klisharis, and the Kohen Gadol would pour from the other klisharis. But it was water that was niskadish in the kiyor. So that's what the Rambam said is lechatchila. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the Ramban's kasha is really not a kasha. The Rambam never said lechatchila you need kiyor, you need mayim sheniskadshu, the kiyor. Next, you have the parsha in the Chumash has the din of shemen amishcha. What was the purpose of having shemen mishcha's kodesh? You had to be mekadesh a kohen gadol. How do you make a kohen hedyed into a kohen gadol? You do mishicha b'shemen amishcha. A melech from the malchut beis David had to be anointed with shemen mishcha's kodesh. The other melachim not from malchut beis David were not allowed to use Shemin Mishchas Kodesh. It would be Me'ila. Only Malchus HaNevcheres, Al-Pidin, Malchus David was chosen as the Malchus HaNevcheres, and other Melochim are not Malchus HaNevcheres. And it's a difference on the level of their I said that only Malchus David are permitted to use Shemin Mishchas Kodesh, and the others had Meshicha B'Keren. In other words, the Gemara says they used Shemin HaParsimon, parsimony oil. It was imitation. Shemen HaMishcha wasn't the real Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh. I mentioned on different occasions that the New York Times wrote up in an article about 10 years ago that they found a little container of parsimony oil from the days of Yashke. And they tell you that parsimony oil is there's such a bush. And parsimony, I guess, is some kind of berries that grow on a bush. And they squeeze it out and they get parsimony oil. Shemen HaParsimon. So they wrote in the Holy New York Times that what is parsimony oil for? Used for, that's what they used to anoint the Davidic kings with. So Mamish Lehepach, that's what they used for non-Davidic kings. Those who are Malchi Beis David had Shemin Mishchas Kodesh. The Malchi Israel used imitation. Shemin HaMishcha, that was Shemin HaParsimon. But the real Malchi Beis David had Shemin Mishchas Kodesh. If you have a Melech Ben Melech who Yarshins the Malchus from his father, so he doesn't need a new Mashiach. The Mashiachah from the father is sufficient. Unless the Mokam Machloikis, the Gemara says. When David HaMelech died, and then there was a Machloikis who should take over, which one of his sons should take over. So when Bnei HaMachloikis, the Gemara explains it's a din deraisa, it's not just a political demonstration that this son won. It's a din deraisa, that whenever there's Machloikis, then the Yerusha doesn't automatically make him into the Melech, then you need Mashiachah B'Shem and Mashiachah's Kodesh. That's the suffix that the poskim have when the Melech HaMashiach will come. Why do we call him the Melech HaMashiach? Because he's going to be from the Malchus Beis David who have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. His father was not an acting Melech. He's getting the Malchus Birusha from his ancestors who many generations ago were functioning as Malchus Beis David. And by Srishan, by Shani, there was no Malchus Beis David to speak of at all. Chashmonaim made a rebellion against the government. They were Kohanim. They were not from Shevet Yehuda. So the Shaila is, the Melech HaMashiach is getting the Malchus Birusha, but his father, and his father was not an acting Melech. So is that called Melech Ben Melech? He does need Mashiach. So why is he called Melech HaMashiach? Because the Mashiach from David HaMelech, from Shlomo HaMelech, is Chal on him, because he gets a Birusha. We assume there won't be any Machlekes. When Mashiach will come, there won't be Machlekes. There'll be Machlekes. There won't be Machlekes. Who is the Melech HaMashiach? Or should we assume, no, Melech HaMashiach will need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, because he's not a Melech, he is a Melech Ben Melech, he got Birusha, but his immediate father, his father from whom he's Yarshining, was not actively functioning as a Melech. So that's a suffix that the Svarim from the last 100 years, right, they're not sure. Why do we refer to the Melech HaMashiach as the Mashiach? Is he actually going to need Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha? Or no, Al Pidin, he's going to be from the Malchut Beis David, who are supposed to have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. He won't actually need it, because he got to be Rush and there won't be a Machlekes. Yes, a Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, Mashem and Mishcha's Kodesh was for the Malchut Beis David. Are there any other differences on the level of the raisa between Malchei Beis Dovid and Malchei Yisrael? So the Gemara says, "Ein yeshiva ba'azara ela la'malchei beis dovid." To sit in the azara is only permissible. Even the kohen gadol not allowed to sit in the azara. Only permissible from the melech and the malchei beis dovid. So that's a shaila. What's the nature of this din? Ein yeshiva ba'azara. Is that a din deraisa? Where is there a pasuk? The Rashi one place writes that it's halacha moshe misina. Another place Rashi writes that it's derabbanan. On the margin, on the side of the Gemara, they point out there's a steer between the two Rashi's. According to one Rashi, it's really a din deraisa ein yeshiva ba'azara. Except for the Malchus HaNevcheres, and the Malchus HaNevcheres is the Malchus Beis David. So there are really differences on the level of the Raisa between the Malchus Beis David and the Sharmalach. How do they have a Kohen Gadol and the Baisheni? The Pasuk says in Sefer Divayim, Yoshio HaMelech was one of the kings towards the end of the period of the Bais region. He was going as the Shemen HaMishkan, the basement of the Beis HaMikdash, with the Orem, with the Luchas, with the Tzimtzeres Amon. Says all in Divayim. So if they didn't have any Shemen HaMishcha, the whole Kukh is by Shem, how'd they ever have a Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, you can either appoint a Kohen Gadol by anointing him, either by Meshicha, Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh, or with Riboy D'Godim. So the whole Kukh is by Shem, they had the Meshicha, they had Kiddush, Kohen Gadol was done on a day Riboy D'Godim. The Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol, who is Miskadosh on a day Meshicha, has a stronger din of Kohen Gadol than the one who's Aidei Merubah B'godim, that the Par HaBoal Kol HaMitzvahs, that's a Mishnah in the first parak in Megillah, Ein Beikoi Merubah B'godim U'Koin HaMashuach B'Shemen HaMishchal HaPar HaBoal Kol HaMitzvahs. If a private individual is Mechal Shabbos B'Shogig, say he brings Kizba Osira, he brings a Korban Chatas. If the Kohen Gadol is Mechal Shabbos B'Shogig, or eats Chelu V'dam B'Shogig, so he has to bring a Par Kohen Gadol. So the pasuk says only if the Kohen Gadol, only the Kohen Gadol in the Bais Rishon period, who in this Kaddish are day Meshicha b'Shem and Amishcha, but the Kohen Gadol in the Bais Sheni period, who only had Ribud Gadim, so they had a lower level, slightly lower level of Kedushas Kohen Gadol, so they would be miskaper if they would be Mechal Shabbos b'Shegig, Rit Chel v'Dam, Rit Chametz b'Pesach b'Shegig, they would be miskaper by Kizbo Sir. They wouldn't have to bring a Par HaBoal Kol HaMitzvahs. So that's why there's a Yerushalmi, I think, in Perek Kohen Gadol. That's an end of the Perek in Maseches Nazir. There's a discussion, if you have a Kohen Gadol in Kohen Hagid walking down the highway, and there's a mace mitzvah there. No one has a cell phone, you can't call a Chevre Kadisha, and somebody has to bury the mace, but you don't need both of them to bury the mace. Either the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen Hagid can do it all by himself. So it's better let the Kohen Hagid bury the mace. Why should the Kohen Gadol violate the Yisr Tumah for the Kohen Gadol? It's more chomer than the Yisr Tumah for the Kohen Hagid, because the Kohen Gadol not even allowed to be metamit to the Zayin Krovim. Kohen Hagid's Yisr is not as chomer. He is allowed, he is obligated to be metamit to the Zayin Krovim. So the Rishami, so the Mishnah adds on more cases there. So the Rishami has such a case. That's in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. So he had an old Kohen Gadol. He had to be pretty old. An old Kohen Gadol from the Tkuvah's Bais Rishon. He has to be 95 years old, 100 years old. So let's say theoretically you have two Kohanim Gadolim walking down the highway. One of them is Mashuach B'Shem and Amishcha, and one of them is a Merubah B'Godim. So since the Kohen Gadol who is Mashuach B'Shem and Amishcha is slightly a notch higher than the Kedusha's Kohen Gadol of the Mashuach of the Merubah B'Godim, because he brings a Par HaBoal Kol HaMitzvahs and the Merubah B'Godim doesn't. So the Merubah B'Godim should be metamit to the mace. It's like Machila Mosa HaKala Kal Tchila. And you have to violate an Isser. They try to minimize the violation, try to do less of an Isser. So for Kohen Hagid to be metamit, it's less of an Isser than a Kohen Gadol. And for the Kohen Gadol who's Merubah B'Godim to be metamit to a mace mitzvah is less of an Isser than if the Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha is metamit. So I think the Rishami says like that, if you have two Kohanim G'dolim at the same time, you can have that. One is retired and the other one is acting. And one of them is a Merubah B'Godim, one of them is a Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha, so the Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha is a slightly higher level of Kedusha. So again, so what do they use of Shem and Mishcha's Kodesh for? They use it to be Mekadesh Kohanim G'dolim. They used it to be Emana HaMelech and the Malchei Beis David. And they used it to be Mekadosh Ola Kelim Shasa Moshe. The pasuk says, Shulchan, the Kelim, the Menorah, the Kelah, the Mizbach HaKdamis, Mizbach HaOilo. They had to be Mekadosh Ola Kelim Shasa Moshe. Mishichasam ikapchasam. The Gemara says that was only pikidash the oisam. Oisam is a meal. Only the kevim shasam oisam, mishichasam ikapchasam, mikan v'yelach. The later generations it was avidosam echanchasam. It was avidosam echanchasam. The pasuk says that there's an isa koris. If somebody uses shemen mishchas kodesh for his own purposes, but many sort to dabel anymore. Shemen mishchas kodesh yezalila derasech mabsaram layisach. Aishit men alzar minichras miyamav. There's an oinish of koris, and if one violates a bishegi, it's chay v'chato. So there's a machlekes hatanoim. Let's say the melech hamashiach will have mishicha b'shemen hamishcha. And then he'll decide one day to shmir, to use some shemen hamishcha for his own personal purposes. He had no heter to do that. So will he be chayv, and he did it b'shegig, let's say he didn't realize. So will he be chayv chatos, or do you say no? Hashi'itim imenu al zar. Maybe a zar has a connotation, zar etzlam eikor. He never had a shaytas with the shemen hamishcha. So that's a machlekes hatanaim, and the first parak increases. I think it's machlekes hameir of Yudah. Whether he'd say he need dafke zaretz lemeikora or no, if he's a melech who once had mishicha, he's a kangal who once had mishicha, and now he's going to use shmir shemen hamishcha shaloi kedin, it's not permissible. But maybe there's no chorus because he's not really called a zar. And similarly, there is a machleg satana. Let's say a woman is married to a kohen. The din is that a zar, a non kohen, is not permitted to eat truma. And if a non-kohen eats truma, the yonish is minsa b'dei shamayim. And if one violates it b'shoigig, zah shachal truma b'shoigig, has to give kermachaymish in order to get a kapara, for the purpose of kapara. So the pasuk over there also says, if a zar eats truma. So what if you have an ashes kohen, so she's eating truma. She's a Yisraelis, and she's married to a kohen, she's eating truma. And then the husband dies, and she doesn't find out about it till the next day. And she's sitting and eating truma. And then she finds out that the husband died yesterday. So is she going to be chayv to give kerem v'chaymish? Because the minute the husband dies, she's not an eishes kohen anymore. So she wasn't born kohenes. She's a zar. But she's not a zar etzlam eikora. There was a couple of happy years in her life that she was married to a kohen. She was eating truma. So the Gemara has such a machlokes hatanaim there also in the Mishnayos. Eishes Kohen finds out the husband died after she already ate b'shogeg. She didn't realize that her husband died. Would she be chayv kerem v'chaymish or not? Because it depends on Zar. And that's a machlekes, where the Zar has a connotation of Zar etzlam eikor. Then after the parsha of Shemen HaMishcha, you have the parsha of Kitoris. So we recite in Pit Makdoris that there are 11 Samamanim. How did the Tanoim figure out the 11 Samamanim? So the Gemara explains it's all in the first parak increases. Kahlucha samim is miot rabim shnaim is two. Not of shchelis v'chelbina is another three. So two and three is five. Then it says samim. Samim, if it would only say samim, the first time it says samim is miot rabim shnaim is only two. But if it already says samim, then plus not of shchelis v'chelbina is three more is five. Then when it says samim means another five. Then it says ulevaina. That's 11. So five and five is 10. Ulevaina zaka is 11. So that's how you establish that there are 11 Samamanim. The Gemara increases points out that one of the Samamanim had a bad smell. Chelbana had a bad smell. So what did the Rebbe Shalom instruct that they should add on Chelbana? Not the Mishchelis, but Chelbana has a bad smell. So the Gemara says to teach us this idea that the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael should consist of Tzadikim, Beinonim, and Rishonim. In Yiddish folklore, that's what they say. Tzibur is a Rashi Tev, it's Tzadik Beis Reish, Tzadik and Beinon and Rishon. So the Gemara says, when you have a Tainas Tzibur, it's only a meaningful called Tainas Tzibur, B'Shem Bo Miposhi Yisrael, ain't a Tainas Tzibur. It only has the status of a Tainas Tzibur if you have Rishonim also participating, Poshi Yisrael also participating in the Tzibur. So the Torah told us to incorporate Chelbana into the Ketores to teach this lesson. Chelbana smells bad, has a bad smell, but when you blend it in with the other 10, so you don't smell the bad smell. So it's to teach us this lesson. You have to be Masar Rishoyim as well. There's a famous Maharsha in the Chidushi Agoda when he says, but you can't be Masar to Russia to the Minyan a lot of times. He's such a Russia, he's an Apikar, he's Lina Ka'akum. So that's why you need 11 Salamon. The Apikar is not Masar to the Minyan. have to have 10 tzaddikim, and that bikkuris is added onto the member. You have to have them there, then sure. That's what, as you enter into Yom Kippur, so the traditional day would say, that Yom Kippur, we want it to be a tiny sibur. So there would be an iser. They would have all year long. They would have an iser not to allow apikursim to come daven and shul. But Yom Kippur wanted to be a tiny sibur. So you have to have Parsha Yisrael. So they would lift the ban. They would lift the prohibition. They would matter the iser. The spalim havaryonim. So to make it into a tiny sibur. It says in the Chumash you have to grind up all the samanim of the ketores v'shachtam menu hadek. You should grind it up very in a fine way. And Yom Kippur and the ketores every day you makter. In the morning and the evening, twice a day, makter the Haktaris. And the Mizbah Haktaris. On Yom Kippur, in addition to the Haktaris, and the Mizbah Haktaris, and the Heichal, there would be Haktaris, like they can go in the Kodesh Kadoshim on the floor. In the Machta, on the floor. And there it says you should take Haktaris Amim Dako. Every day was Dako. So that's what the Bryson says, speak Haktaris. Yom Kippur had to be Dako Menad Dako. They would grind it again before Yom Kippur. To make it even finer than it was all year long. Torah all year long has to be daka, and on L'Kavod Yom Kippur it should be daka ben adaka. Then Torah instructs about making the Mishkan and so on, but you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of Asiyas HaMishkan. So right after the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMishkan, Atod Daber of Bnei Yisrael and Achash Shabbos Tishmaru. Don't be Mechal Shabbos. Shabbos Bnei Yisrael, Shabbos Bnei Yisrael, Asiyas HaMishkan. We spoke about the Zohar and the Pasuk Bnei Yisrael, special relationship between Kadosh Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael and the Ummah Yisraelim are not allowed to observe Shabbos. If they want to volunteer other mitzvahs, that's okay. But Shabbos they're not allowed to, and the Zohar gave the mashal that the maid has the keys to all of the rooms in the royal palace. The maid has to have the keys to the bedroom also, but the maid has to have seichel to know when the king wants privacy. When the king and the queen are together in bed, the maid is going to barge in, so the king is going to behead her. So too, Shabbos is a special yichud between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael, and if the nochrim are going to barge in, they're chayiv nisa b'day shamayim. So that's what the Zohar comments on this pasuk. Bnei Bnei Yisrael, special relationship. We daven on Shabbos. We say Yisnoch L'mashan Aschelto, Kevin Amok Rosalo. That Shabbos was incorporated into the Aseres Adibus, and we say Mechen Kasubus Arasecho. Shabbos is mentioned so many times in Chumash. Why do they only quote this passage with Shema Bnei Yisrael on Shabbos? So they quote in the name of Rab Chaim that the luchas are referred to as the luchas habris. Means that these mitzvahs and the aseres adibris were singled out. There's a bris on the whole Torah. Bris at Hasina was on all the 613 mitzvahs, but the luchas habris means that there was a special bris on these specific mitzvahs separated from all the other mitzvahs. So we mentioned the fact that Shabbos is mentioned in Aseres Adibus means that it's a special mitzvah that has a bris. Echen kosev b'sarasech v'sham b'nitzol sa Shabbos, and we say bris olam, that Shabbos has a special krisis bris over and above all of the other mitzvahs because of the fact that it appears in the Aseres Adibus. That's why we only quote this pasuk v'sham b'nitzol sa Shabbos. We don't quote some of the other times that Shabbos is mentioned. Because this is the pasuk that mentions that Shabbos is the bris. There were two sets of luchas, the luchas of Shonis, Moshe Rabbeinu smash because he saw the Chet HaEgel, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to make Psal Luchos, Shnei Luchos, Avanim, Karishanim, they had to do it all over again, and he made the luchas Shnias. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, based on Midrashim, that Al Pi Halacha, there was a major difference between the role of Moshe Rabbeinu by the luchas of Shonis and the role by the Luchas Shniyas. By Luchas Rishonis, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break up any raw material. What were the Aseres Adibus? What was the background? What was it carved out on? The Luchas Shniyas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Psal Luchas Shnei Luchas Avanim, you should take stones, and you should climb up to Har Sinai, bring the stones, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Echtov HaLuchos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to engrave. So the Ksav of the second Luchas was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, But the background was brought from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Olam Hazeh. He brought stones from Olam Hazeh. The Luchos Rishonis, he didn't bring any stones. He was on top of Har Sinai. The Gemara assumes he wasn't standing on the mountain. He was, his feet were suspended in the air. The Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah assumes like that. So the stones, according to the Midrashim, according to the Pesukim Chumri, says, V'aluchas ma'isele came heima v'amichta michta v'alakim hu. Chorus al-aluchas. Not only the michta was michta v'alakim, it was engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the material, the raw material, aluchas ma'isele came heima. It was some heavenly material. It wasn't avanim from Olam Hazeh. The shnei luchas avanim, the second time around, were avanim from Olam Hazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu slapped it up. But the first time was not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took heaven from the top of the mountain. That's not called Haluchas Maisel Lekim Heima, because the whole world was created by Kodesh Boch. That's not called Maisel Lekim. Maisel Lekim Heima means it was Evan Snapirin. It was some kind of heavenly material, not similar to any kind of stone that we're familiar with today. So Kodesh Boch gave the Luchas with the Ksav to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shliach Lohailochas HaKidushin. Just like you have by a get, you can have a Shliach Lohailocha, you can have a Shliach LeKabbalah. So if the husband appoints a shliach lo'ilocha, so the get is not chal till the shliach delivers the get to the isha. If the wife appoints a shliach le'kabbalah, then the moment, the minute the husband gives the get to the shliach kabbalah, get takes effect. So the same is true regarding shliach le'kiddushin. If the husband makes a shliach lo'ilocha sa'kiddushin, so the kiddushin only takes effect when the kesef kiddushin, when the ring is handed over to the kala. If the kala appoints a shliach le'kabbalah sa'kiddushin, so then the minute the husband gives the ring to the shliach, the woman is already mekudeshes. So here the Midrashim say, Rashi quotes it, that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas, he did it l'shem shemayim. He didn't want the Jewish people to be punished like an Eishes Ish Zinso, so he didn't deliver the kes of Kiddushin. Apparently Moshe Rabbeinu, by the luchas rishaynas, was functioning as a shleh lohilochas ha-Kiddushin. And until he delivers the luchas to Bnei Yisrael, the Kiddushin is not chal. So even the Yom HaSalem are also not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. But it's not as serious as a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah. A Jew who worships Avodah Zarah is like we're married with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, like an Eishes Ish Zinso. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to soften the Avera, so he didn't deliver the Luchas. Didn't deliver the Luchas, he smashed the Luchas, so the Kiddushin wasn't Lachal. So the second time around, the Rebbe Shlom says, no, this time I want you to be a Shliach LeKabbalah HaKiddushin. So Luchas and Luchas Avonim, you bring up raw material to the top of the scene, and I will engrave the Ksav. The minute the Rebbe Shlom engraved the Ksav, it was ready, the Kiddushin was Chal. It's like the Kala appoints a Shliach LeKabbalah HaKiddushin, the Shliach takes a box, and the Chassan throws a ring into the box, so the Kiddushin is Chal right away. So the second time around, the Rebbe Shlom said he doesn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to do such a stunt again. That he should be able to smash the Luchas and prevent the Kiddushin from taking Chal, from taking effect. So he said, you bring the Luchas and I'll engrave it. When I'll engrave it, that'll be the Matan HaKesef. It's like Kiddush HaKesef. Moshe Rabbeinu davened very hard for the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lech Reit, Kishich HaSamcha, Shehaleisa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. What do you mean? Kishich HaSamcha? It's not Moshe Rabbeinu's fault. The Rebbe Shlom picked the Jewish people. He chose them. Am HaNivcha. And he did Yitzias Mitzrayim. What is he pinning the blame? He turned around and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kishich HaSamcha, Moshe HaLeisa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Tanoim say, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu took in big Erev Rav. He never consulted the Rebbe Shlom. He was told that there's an institution of Geiris, and there's going to be Amayim and Hasina in another 7 weeks, on Shavuot, 7 weeks after Pesach. And he thought that it would be a big Kiddush Hashem to have twice as many people, three times as many people. So there were Shisha Meba Jewish people between the age of 20 and 60, the men. Then there were younger people, younger than 20 and older than 60. There were women. And then there was a ton of Erev Rav. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's idea. He was told there's an institution of Geiris. And he took all of the Erev Rav to make it a nicer Maimon HaSinai. So the Rebbe Shlom, and apparently the Chet Egel was begun by the Erev Rav. The Bnei Yisrael, who the Iker core of the Bnei Yisrael, weren't interested in worshiping the Egel, but the Erev Rav got them involved. So that's why the Rebbe Shlom says, Lech Rei Kishich HaSamcha Shehalisa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's your additional Erev Rav that you didn't consult me, you decided on your own, so you better straighten out the mess. That's how the Chazal understood over here. The quote from the Vilna Gaon has a lot to say about Erev Rav. So he said that the Erev Rav, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of the history of the Jewish people, were the Nochrim, who decided to join the Jewish people to be present at Har Sinai, to convert along with them. And Lasi Lava, but before Mashiach comes, there are going to be Erev Rav from the Bnei Yisrael themselves, the Apikursim, who don't follow the Masorah of the Torah Shabbat. That's going to be the Erev Rav. That's a famous comment from one of the great Hasidic Rebbes. He said, based on Psukim and Chumash, that there are three different levels of Golus. There's the Golus of the Jewish people, Bein Ha'umas. Then there's the Golus of the Talmid HaChachamim, Bein Amei Ha'aretz. Adam Ha'aretz, don't respect the Talmid HaChachamim. Then you have the Golus of the Talmid HaChachamim, Ha'amitiyim. The real Talmid HaChachamim are in Golus amongst the others who think they're Talmid HaChachamim. So he's talking about that the Misnagdim didn't recognize the Chassidish Rebbes as Tzaddik. That's what he's talking about. And people in our generation quote this, they borrow this concept from this Chassidish Rebbe. They say, why you give so many smichas? We're going to have a Chag HaSmicha. So some of them really know how to learn, and others can barely read the Rashi script with Nekudis. So there's the Golus of the real Talmid HaChachamim amongst the Talmid HaChachamim who think they're Talmid HaChacham. Anyway, that's what the Vilna Gaon talks about. The Erev Rav, before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a lot of Erev Rav. He's speaking about the Erev Rav from among the Jews, those who are going to be in violation of all of the mitzvahs, violation of all the traditions of the Torah Shabbat. The Luchas Shnias, the Pasuk describes, the Luchas Rishonis, HaMaisi L'kim Heima V'amichta Michta V'lekim Hu, Choros Ala Luchas. But then the second time around, the Luchas were not Maisa L'kim. It was Maisa B'riyadah, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Psalacha, he brought up to Har Sinai. The Pasuk says when Moshe Rabbeinu was praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael, V'ichal Moshe, Tz'pnei Hashem Elokov. What do you mean, V'ichal? So the Gemara has different...
Kabbalah,
if it's in the Shnios, that Moshe Rabbeinu was still Kabbalah, wouldn't Bnei Yisrael have to appoint Moshe Rabbeinu to do that? Where do we hear this? That Moshe Rabbeinu was still Kabbalah?
Stam, it means
that he tells the Bnei Yisrael that this is my plan. So they said, okay. He came down and he took care of the Chet Ha'egel, whatever he could do. Then he said, the Bnei Yisrael wants me to represent you for the Luchas Shnios. Do you agree? So he said, okay. I guess so. The Gemara in the first parak in Brachos talks about the Loshen Vayichal. So the Gemara has one interpretation, Vayichal, the Loshen Machla, that Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed onto the Rebbeinu Shalom's jacket, so to speak, and he was pestering him, and he was nudging him so much, until he weakened the Rebbeinu Shalom. He was davening and davening, and insisting that Rebbeinu Shalom has to forgive the Bnei Yisrael, has to give us a big. This is in contrast to the way Moshe Rabbeinu davens for himself. He asks for matnas chinam. He doesn't grab the Rebbeinu Shalom with his lapel and insist that he has to let me cross over the Yarden. He asks for matnas chinam. Why the contrast? How come over here is vaychal? So Soloveitchik explained that the Rebbeinu Shalom only made a bris for the Klal Yisrael as a nation. He never made a bris with individuals. So when you daven on behalf of Klal Yisrael, you have a right to be Taveya. When you daven on behalf of an individual, the Rebbeinu Shalom never promised anything to any, he doesn't owe anything to any individual. He goes to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has a right to demand. But an individual doesn't have a right to demand. So an individual, even as great a tzaddik, great Talmud Chacham, as Moshe Rabbeinu, has to ask for a matnas chinam. So they used to say, that's why the Yochid davens Balachash, you're whispering and begging with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a pleading tone of voice. And the Chazan, who says Chazar Sa'ashat, says it Mikol Ram in a demanding voice. The different minhagim, when the Chazan says the Shemana Esrei out loud, whether he says it in a begging, pleading voice, or he says it in a demanding voice. Now the common practice is that the Chazanim say the Chazar Sa'ashat in a fresh tone, in a, asserting, we ask for this. And years ago, I remember when I was growing up, the Litvaks used to have a different nusach. They had a wailing niggun for the Chazan also. The Chazan, when he said the Chazar Sashatz, the Kol Ram, also said in a pleading tone of voice. Rav Soloveitchik was saying that that's the difference. The Chazan says B'kol Rami has a right to demand. And that's what the Mechilta comments when they had the Melchemes Amalek in the end of Parshas Bishalach. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu was davening that they should win the war. And he had V'ar v'chur tom chiviyod mizeh mizeh echad mizeh v'echad mizeh. So the Medrash says that you need, when you have a tzibur davening on a tiny tzibur, so you need three people. Instead of having one shatz, you need two people, one to the right and one to the left of the chazan. You should have three. What's the idea of three? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's like a bezdin, that the bezdin is going to paskin that the Ribbono Shel Olam is mechuyav to take care of the needs of the Jewish people. For a yochid, you have no right to demand. Ribbono Shel Olam never owed you anything, never promised you anything. But for the tzibur, he made a bris with the Klal Yisrael. Bris means he promised to take care of us, whether we are worthy or we're not worthy. So you have to have a bezin convened to insist and to demand. He has to take care of our needs. So that's how the Chazan started by Yichal Moshe. There's a pasuk in Chumash Dvarim, I think it's Kiseitze, if I'm not mistaken, where it says, Zohar Eis Asher Ksavta Sosham Lakecha Ba'midbar. We should always remember the way we angered our Kodesh Baruch in the Midbar by worshipping the Chet Ha'Egel. So the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam is trying to figure out which are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Ramban deletes every so often mitzvahs that the Rambam considers, the Ramban deletes, has to replace them with other mitzvahs. So the Ramban writes, he's not sure about that pasuk. Zohar Eis Asher Hiktzavta, was that a Hirosh only for the Dor HaMidbar? They should remember the way they sinned, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of them nonetheless. They should remember Chazdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or is it really a mitzvah l'doros? So many assume that it's taka mitzvah l'doros, and the Ramban says, according to that Ramban, there's a possibility, just like Parsha Zohar is a chiyuv deraisa, many Rishonim assume Parsha Zohar is a chiyuv deraisa. See, there's another Parsha Zohar that's a chiyuv deraisa. Ramban holds that leaning Parshas Vayimin HaSinai, Zohar Sayyam Asher Amarta of Ne'ashem Bokech B'choyrev, is a mitzvah to lay in Parshas Vayimin HaSinai. So there's also a mitzvah in our Torah to lay in Parshas Chet Ha'Egel, L'doros. Not sure whether it's L'doros or L'shul. So according to one side of the Rabban, it's a din L'doros. In the Shulchan Aruch, and there are a few Rishonim who say this, there are those who say that reading Parshas Parah is a chi of their Isa. So the Vilna Gaon says that it's a Tos Sefer. Where does it come from? What's the mocker? Must be a mistake. How can it be a mistake? It appears in so many different Rishonim who are not copying from each other. So where did they get the sign from that laning Parshas Parah is their Isa? Stipulus says, maybe what it means is the Hizartim has been a solmi to Muslim, that the Bezdin has an obligation to warn the people not to enter into the Harabais in the state of Tuma. They shouldn't walk into the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tuma. So maybe that's what it means, Parshas Parah is their Isa. It doesn't mean each and every individual member of Klal Yisrael has to hear like Parsha Zohar. Everybody has to go to shul to hear Parsha Zohar. It means the Bezna has an obligation to warn the Tzibur, the Zaitan is when I saw to Masman, they shouldn't enter the Harbais in the state of Tula. Or Hashulchan, I think, interprets, and others interpret, no, Parshas Parah is the Raisa. When you're burning a Parah Aduma, the Gemara says in the first paragraph in Yuma, he's supposed to, just like every Yom Kippur, Kan Godel has a din, Menatera has to lay in the Parsha. Part of the Hakrobas Hakrobatus and Yom Kippur is Kriyas HaParsha, is their Isa. So also part of Sreifas HaPara, every 150 years or so when they burnt, they made the 9 Paradumas in the past, the Mishnah says, and also the level of the Moshe HaMashiach, there'll be a 10th Paraduma. So whenever you make a Paraduma, part of the ceremony requires you should lay in Parsha's Paraduma. But it's not that Parsha's Parah is their Isa every year, it's every so often when you're making a Paraduma. And others understood, no, it's Takachiyah once a year, every year. Why? Just like Parsha Zohar. So the Sefer Chinuch writes, he's not sure how often they have to read Parsha Zohar, Zechiris Chet Amolek. Once in a lifetime, or once every couple of years, or maybe once a year, every year. Maybe since the Shir Shikha is Yud Beis Chodesh, maybe after laying once a year, every year. So that's what, if you take that side of the Sefer Chinuch, that's Parsha Zohar's Takah. Once a year, every year. So some hold that Parshas Parah is the rice, and once a year, every year is the way to remember the Chet Ha'Egel, because Rashi quotes from the Bamidbar Rabbah, he quotes it, the Yisodesh of Rav Moshe HaDarshan. But by us, Rav Moshe HaDarshan's drushes are in the Bamidbar Rabbah. So it says, Dovah ha'emet kaneach tzoyaz benod. The Jews sinned with the chet ha'egel, and the egel, it was an egel hazav, it wasn't a real egel, but a real animal, a real egel, is a vlad of a parah. So usually when the baby makes a dirty diaper, so the mother cleans up the mess. So the Bnei Yisrael sinned with the egel, so the paradum is the mother of the egel, so the mother has to be mechaper on the chet ha'egel. So some want to say, Torah Tamim has a long arichas about this in his autobiography, in the Sefer Mikor Baruch. He quotes this idea from Mefarshim. Maybe what's the whole idea of remembering Chet HaEgel? What's the significance of remembering Chet HaEgel? We should walk around with a guilty conscience that we did in Avera. So the idea is, as it says in the Gemara, in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, the Holy Soul Shabbosav Do Ruim Loisa Maisa. The Jewish people in that generation, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, they experienced their Samakas Ma'amin Hasin. It doesn't make sense that they should make Avodah Zarah. They should worship Avodah Zarah. The whole thing doesn't make sense. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended Abchira Chavshis and caused us to sin with the Chet HaEgel Kedei Lahoris Tshuva L'Rabim, to teach us that even if the entire Tzibur sins with the most serious Aver of Avodah Zarah, there's a way to fix it up, they can do Tshuva. So that's how the Chazal say, Vayav HaShem Alpana Vayikra, who is Vayikra? So Pasha Pshati say, Vayav HaShem Alpana, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachim Echanon. So the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, no. Vayav HaShem Alpana, like Achazen Ha'iva Lefnei HaTeva. Vayav HaShem Alpana means Malam Shenitzatav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on a talis, and the vision that Moshe Rabbeinu saw, his Marah HaNevuah was as if God had cloaked himself with a talis, and he's serving as the Shliach Tzibur to say Slichas. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, he teaches him, Kol Zman Shebana Choytim, Yasa Lefana Kiseidem Hazeh. The whole purpose of the Chet HaEgel was HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended Abchira Chavshis to cause us to sin in order to teach us the lesson of tshuva, that even if everybody worshipped Avodah Zarah, it's possible to do tshuva. And the say about tshuva is they should all gather together and have a chazan, wear a talis, and recite the Yud Gimel Midas Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lechaim. So if you say it like that, then you understand what it means. The mitzvah to remember Zohar Es Hashem Tzavta Hashem Alkecha means to remember the lesson of the Chet HaEgel, that even if the whole tzibur sins with the terrible avera of Avodah Zarah, it's still possible for everybody to be chozer b'tshuva. So then it makes sense, we should lay Parshas Parah, because Parshas Parah is the kapara. We should lay every year that there is a kapara, even if the whole tzibur worships Avodah Zarah. We can always straighten out the mess. You shouldn't think that the situation is so bad that it's hopeless. There's no way to straighten out the mess. Even after everybody worships Avodah Zarah, it's still possible. Difficult parsha, the Chet HaEgel is a difficult story. That's what motivated the Chazal to say, "Lohayso shabasa darim loisa maisa." Ela malah laharis tshuva l'rab. Kadosh Baruch Hu suspended up chiruch avshis, and he caused us to sin like that. When Aaron saw that the people insist that they want to, they need a new leader, they want to worship Avodah Zarah, so he said, everybody should take all the jewelry from their wives, and they should participate in making this egel. So according to the Medrash, the women didn't participate. The women understood that you don't make an egel hazor. The men did. When it came time to donate from the Mishkan, so it says b'feresh, the men and the women gave. When it came for the Chet HaEgel, only the men gave, the women didn't give. That's how it says in the Medrash. The men were just, they wanted a tax deduction. Yes, can they give a donation to the church? They'll give it as long as it's tax deductible. The Tvayim le'egel v'naisen, the Tvayim le'mishkan v'naisen. Whatever you ask them to give a donation to a charity, whether it's a good charity, bad charity, the men give. And the women understand, they have seichel, you only donate to a good charity, to the Mishkan. You don't donate to the eagle. So that's what the Chazal say. The Pirkei Rav Blazer says that Rosh Chodesh is a yontif for the women. What kind of a yontif for the women? That the women have minig, they don't do malacha. So the Das Kenim of Bali Atesis on the Chumash explained, because Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the Shmini Lemiluim, when finally, after the Shivas Miluim, at the end of Chodesh Adar, so the Shmini Lemiluim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan was when the Beis HaMikdash, when the Mishkan was in full functioning capacity. So every Rosh Chodesh, the women celebrate in commemoration of the Binyan HaMishkan, that they knew to give to the Mishkan and not to give to the Egel. That's what the women are celebrating. on Rosh Chodesh Nissan to discern which is a valuable charity and which is an improper charity, where you should give money, where you shouldn't give money. In the Yud Gimel Midas we say, V'nakeh lo yinakeh. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that there are two different statements. That's how the Targum Onkelos writes also. Targum Onkelos, Rav Soloveitchik, always assumes that he always gives pshuto shel mikra. So he says, Menakeh hu l'shovim v'ena menakeh l'sheinam shovim. Rav Soloveitchik insisted the Balkur shouldn't lay it together. V'nakeh lo yinakeh. He said you have to pause. V'nakeh lo, you know, okay, you should pause in between because it's like a comma, like a semicolon in between. Nakul the shovim, the enim and nakul the shenim shovim. That's how Rav Soloveitchik used to say. Okay, I guess the guys have to go to college. I apologize for the lateness, but the computer wasn't working. A good Shabbos, everybody. I don't think I'll be able to give a shiur on Monday or Sunday. But believe that, I plan to be in yeshiva on Tuesday, unless they expect a blizzard or something. Okay. Good Shabbos.
They can send us the shiur to put online. Did that